better if you don't. You can't stop me. I know. You have no right to stop me. I'm asking you, that's all. Please don't look. I have to. Better not. I don't have to listen to you. Then listen to her instead. Listen to Margaret. Pretend she grew up. Imagine what she would have become. She wouldn't have been a lawyer or a scientist. She loved flowers. She loved colors and forms. She would have been a painter or a poet, an artist, a smart, creative person, in love with life and full of common sense and full of concern for you and full of wisdom. She'd look at you and she'd shake her head and smile and she'd say, "Come on, Mom, do what the man says." "You think?" She'd say, "Mom, trust me on this." "But I have to see. After all these years of not knowing, better if you don't. It's just her bones." "It's not just her bones."
"What else can be left?"
"No," Reacher said. "I mean, it's not just her bones." Up on the 49th parallel, the transfer was going exactly to plan. The white van had driven slowly south through the last of Canada, and it had parked for the final time in a rough forest clearing a little more than 2 miles north of the border. The driver had gotten out and stretched and then taken a long coil of rope from the passenger footwell and walked around to the rear doors. He had opened them up and gestured urgently, and the women and the girls had come on out immediately, with no reluctance, with no hesitation at all, because passage to America was what they wanted, what they had dreamed about, and what they had paid for. There were 16 of them, all from rural Thailand, 6 women and 10 female children, average weight close to 80 pounds each, for a total payload of 1,260 pounds. The women were slim and attractive, and the girls were all 8 years old or younger. They all stood and blinked in the morning light and looked up and around at the tall trees and shuffled their feet a little, stiff and weary, but excited and full of wonderment. The driver herded them into a rough semicircle. He couldn't speak Thai, and they couldn't understand English, so he started the same dumb show he had performed many times before. It was probably faster than talking anyway. First, he patted the air to calm them down and get their attention. Then he raised a finger to his lips and twisted left, twisted right, tracking the whole length of the semicircle, a big, exaggerated pantomime so that they all saw, so that they all understood they had to be silent. He pointed at a spot on the ground and then cupped a hand behind his ear. "There are sensors. The earth listens." The women nodded, deferential, keen to let him know they understood. He pointed to himself and then to all of them and then pointed south and wiggled his fingers. "Now we all have to walk." The women nodded again. They knew. They had been told at the outset. He used both hands, one and then the other, palms down, stepping on the air gently and delicately. He kept the gesture going and looked along the semicircle, making eye contact with each of his charges. "We have to walk softly and keep very quiet." The women nodded eagerly, and the girls looked back at him shyly from behind their hair. The driver uncoiled his rope and measured off 6 feet from the end and wrapped that point around the first woman's hand. He measured another 6 feet and wrapped the rope around the first girl's hand, and then the next, and then the second woman, and so on until he had all 16 joined together safely. The rope was a guide, that was all, not a restraint, like a mobile handrail. It kept them all moving at the same pace in the same direction, and it prevented any of them from wandering off and getting lost. The forest transfer was dangerous enough without having to double back and crash around, hunting for stragglers. The driver picked up the free end of the rope and wrapped it around his own hand. Then he led them off, like a train, snaking south between bushes and trees. He walked slowly and softly and listened out for commotion behind him. There was none, as usual. Asian people knew how to keep quiet, especially illegals, especially women and girls. But as quiet as they were, 20 minutes later they were clearly heard in 2 separate locations, both more than 600 miles away, first in Fargo, North Dakota, and then in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Or more accurately, they were seen in both places, in that remote seismograph needles flickered a little as they passed over a buried sensor. But the deflection was minor, barely above the level of background noise. In Fargo, an employee of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security checked back on his graph and thought, "Deer, maybe whitetails, maybe a whole family." His counterpart in Canada checked his own graph and thought, "A breeze, bringing clumps of snow down off the trees."